All of us, as the elders have reminded us over and over, and I'm sure Bob will at the end of the service, we have a series of meetings now coming up at the end of this week, Friday night, Saturday night, and then Sunday morning in our Bible study, and then worship, and then our Sunday evening worship at 6. That'll be 5 lessons. Brother Elmo Wilson, who preaches for Gardner Lane, will be here to deliver these lessons, and he'll be dealing with the Christian's hope. And indeed, these lessons should build us up and encourage us. And so we would urge you to make plans to be in town and to be here for these 5 lessons, and also tell your friends and neighbors and try to get others to come out to benefit from the lessons that will be presented. Brother Wilson will do a good job. He's a good old Southern boy, come out of the state of Mississippi, not too far from where I came from, just over the line out of Alabama there. And so he's spent a lot of time up in the north, I think, preaching the gospel. And so we will enjoy the meeting. The elders have asked me to preach this sermon this morning. And this is a very serious sermon that I'm going to preach. It has to do with our work. Our subject this morning is giving. You know, our contribution is about 300 dollars off of what the proposed budget. And you know, that would add up to about $1,200 a month that we're short. Now, my budget couldn't stand that long, and I'm here to tell you that our budget can't either. And so we have reached a crisis situation. Our proposed budget for 87 was set at $1,686 per week. Now, that is in the limits of what this congregation is able to do, because last year our contribution was $1,621.07 a week. And the budget set for this year was set on the basis of what this congregation had demonstrated its ability to do. And when we talk about a budget, we're not just talking about raising money. We're talking about work. We're talking about a work program. We're talking about 4 men in the field who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in difficult places that we are helping support. And it would be a shame to have to cut off any one of these men. But we're facing a crisis where we're going to have to cut somewhere. And when you've got $1,200 a month, and even cutting one man would not hardly take care of that. We don't want to have to be moved out of our building. We'll have to make the building payment, because it's joined hard here to the synagogue, these classrooms. And they've got to be paid for every month. And I'm just trying to get us to see that we've got a responsibility. Now, I remember distinctly that this eldership called this congregation together before this addition was built to see whether or not it was in harmony with the thinking of the brethren, and if they thought we could do it. And everybody thought we could do it. And what I'm simply trying to put before you this morning is that we have a program of work that's been set before us, spelled out, and we're capable of meeting this responsibility, but we are not meeting it, and we are now in the middle of the year, and we are running about $1,350 a week, and you see that's far short of $1,686. And so we must reevaluate some things. We must look at our responsibility to give as we have prospered, and because, as I say, I'm not just up here telling you something. I'm not a Jim Baker. I'm here trying to tell you what our problems are, and they are reality, and we're going to have to face them. And we've got a responsibility as Christians. Now, I want to talk to us this morning about giving and what the Bible teaches about the importance of our proper use of material things. And so we'll first look at some important lessons that we all need to learn concerning our relationship to material things. And I think these basic lessons will help all of us evaluate and look at our lives and see whether or not we are properly using our material resources. You know, we came into the world with nothing. I'd like to point that old principle out. It's laid down by the Apostle Paul in the first letter to Timothy. He told him in the 7th verse, the 6th chapter, 1 Timothy, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." So that's what we need to know. The Bible wrote, God had the Apostle Paul to write that by inspiration, because that is an important principle for all of us to know, that we came into the world without anything. Now, everything that any of us have today, we have it because the God of heaven has given us the ability to acquire that. And as we would go back to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and look at verses 17 and 18, the record says, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hands hath gotten me this wealth." You know, that many times is the attitude of man. What I've got it myself. But listen now to what he says in the 18th verse. "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." But notice now what he said up in the verse. It is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It's just as true today as it was when this was written by Moses back in Deuteronomy. We came into the world with nothing, and what we have, it is because the God of heaven has given us that power to get the wealth that you and I have. Every good thing that we enjoy has come from the bountiful hand of Almighty God. Now, another great lesson we need to learn is what we acquire belongs to God, and we're only stewards over it. Let's go to the book of Psalms, in Psalms, the 24th chapter, and looking now to about verse 1, the psalmist of old said, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Now, the Apostle Paul set forth this same truth as we would come back to the 10th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians and look at verse 26. He says, "For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof." So we can see then we came into the world without anything, every one of us. And everything that we now have, we have acquired that by the help of Almighty God. And what we have acquired belongs to God to begin with. And we simply have it now in our hands to use as stewards. And the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the Corinthians, he talked about stewardship in 1 Corinthians 4. He says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now notice, it is required in a steward that he be found faithful. Now, what I have from the material standpoint and what I'm able to make week after week, and the same is true with you, it is because God gave us the ability to acquire it, and we have simply been able to acquire that which already belongs to God, and he's put it in our hands to use as stewards. Now, I'm going to have to give an account of my stewardship, how I have handled the material things that have come into my hands. Now, Luke 16 sets forth that truth. As we would go back to about verse 9 of Luke 16, here, of course, in the first part of it, he has talked about the unjust steward. But he says now in verse 9, "And I say unto you, make of yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness." Now he's talking to children of God. We are to make of ourselves friends of mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, that you may, that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, now he's talking to us as stewards, and the unrighteous mammon, as he uses this terminology, refers, of course, to the material things that come into our hands. "If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" The true riches, of course, is heaven itself. And if I ever acquire heaven, if I ever go to heaven, it'll be because I've been a faithful steward in all things. It'll be because I've been a faithful steward in unrighteous mammon. And he says, if I've not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, then how can I expect to go to heaven when I die? How can I expect to have the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now, when he says, if I haven't been faithful in that which is another man, showing what I have belongs to God, and I must be a faithful steward and use that in his service. You see, the only way the God of heaven has of carrying on his work on the earth is through his disciples. You see, he never put a big bank account somewhere that we could go and draw from it. He has no big manufacturing plants that make a lot of money by which the expenses of his kingdom is defrayed. That's not the way he did it. He did it by giving a responsibility to his disciples and emphasizing over and over the responsibility that rests upon us as stewards to take that which comes into our hands and use a proportionate part of these material things into and put them into his service. Now, as we leave this world, I pointed out in the beginning that we came with nothing, and what we have acquired comes from God. And when you and I leave this world, we are going to leave with nothing. You know, that's what the apostle tells us back in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, you see. It's like the fellow said, you know, when you see the hearse going down the road, you don't see the U-Haul it behind you. Because you're not going to carry what you have with you. And I'm not going to carry what I have with me. What is he teaching us? While we're here, we simply have put into our trust that which belongs to another. And that which we have, as I've already established, belongs to God. And what is our responsibility? To use it wisely and well in his service while we are here. Now, we will give an account of the way that we have administered it while we are in charge of what he's put in our hands. Now, this is what Jesus teaches us as we would go back to the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. He says in verse 24, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now, what is the parallel? What is the truth? What is he teaching? He's teaching now a parable concerning the kingdom of heaven. And he says, now, it is like a man traveling into a far country who delivered his own, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, you and I, we are the servants of God. We are the servants of Christ. And he has delivered into our hands his goods. Now, we're going to have to give an account of the way we have used our ability and the way we have used that which has been put into our hands. And as you would look at verse 19, the record says, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." Now, the time is coming when we will all stand before the judgment bar of God. Jesus Christ will be the judge, and he will reckon with us. We will give an account of how we have been stewards upon the earth, how we have used the goods that he has put in our hands. And that's just an important lesson that I must learn. As I become a Christian, as you become a Christian, I must learn the proper use of my material goods, and so must you, as God has entrusted these into our hands, recognizing that what we have in our hands ultimately belongs to him. We're simply stewards over it. He said, Paul said as he wrote to the Romans in Romans 14 and 12, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." And we're going to give an account of the use of the material things that we have. Now, it is not the accumulation of wealth that is sinful. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's not the accumulation of wealth. It's not sinful to accumulate wealth. Now listen to the latter part of what I'm going to say. It is the misuse of wealth after it is accumulated that is sinful. And that's what we need to recognize. It's not wrong to accumulate. It's not wrong to make money. The sinful part is not being a proper steward after we have accumulated wealth. And Jesus sets this forth in the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. Here was a man that accumulated wealth, and there was nothing in the world wrong with his accumulating the wealth. But the sin was, after it was accumulated, he did not properly use it. The parable goes this way. And he spake a parable, I'm in Luke 12, 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, the problem was with this man is that he hoarded his riches. He laid them up solely for himself, and he was not rich toward God. He did not recognize his responsibility as a steward, and he did not take his wealth, a proportionate part of his wealth, and put it into use in the service of God. And he stood under condemnation, not because he had accumulated, not because he had done well, but he stood under condemnation because he misused that which he had accumulated. And the same is true in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. There, the rich man and Lazarus. Now, there's nothing said about the rich man being an immoral man. There's nothing said about the way he got his riches. God does not point out that this rich man cheated others to get his wealth. He does not condemn him because he had wealth. He condemns him because he did not use his wealth properly. He misused his wealth. He did not reach out with his wealth when he had opportunity. There was the poor man, Lazarus. As he laid at his gate, he was hungry, he was full of sores, and that was a great opportunity for him to take a portion of his wealth and do good. What did he do? He simply lavished it upon himself, and he lived very sumptuously every day. Verse 19 says, and I'm in the wrong chapter. He says in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, you see. And he simply used it all on himself. And he thought about nobody else, and he died, and he was lost. Now, why did the Lord give us this? What is the prime lesson? I know there are many lessons we can learn from it. We can learn, of course, about the Hadean world from it, and we generally take it to learn the lessons about the Hadean world, and that's fine and good. But one of the prime lessons the Lord is driving home in all of this is the misuse of material possessions. That's what he's driving home to us. That here was a man that had these things. It wasn't wrong to have them. It wasn't wrong because he had accumulated them. But what was wrong was that he used it all on himself. That's what the Lord is driving home.
because he has taught over and over and over that a proportion of that which he puts in our hands is to be used in his service. Then we might point out this principle. There is a legitimate use to be made of our time and our opportunities for the increase of our worldly possessions. Paul sets forth, if we fail to do that, it is sin. Go back to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and look there now in about verses 11 and 12. He says that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Now, that's the responsibility of every Christian. He says that ye may walk honestly toward them which are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. How do we lack nothing? Because we work. Able-bodied men are to work. Now, we all recognize the fact that hard times hits people, and people get sick, and people get old, and the Lord makes provision for that. He understands that. He points out there is to be, that's one of the reasons we work, that those that are old and needy, and for different reasons, widows and things of that nature, we're to take a proportionate part and reach out to them. But able men are to work and to accumulate. Accumulate more than they are able just to use upon themselves. Let's look at another verse that points out that very truth. Look now to the words of Paul as he writes to Titus. He says in Titus 3 and in verse 14, he says, let ours, and he's talking about Christians, you see, let ours learn to maintain good works. Now, the maintaining of good works here is not talking about you're going out here and doing good things for people. There are many other verses that teach that. The good works here under consideration is that we're to have a good, legitimate job. That's what every Christian is to do. That's what he's talking about. Let ours learn, let Christians learn to maintain good works for what? For necessary uses. Now look at that. Necessary uses that they be not unfruitful. In what? Doing the work of the Lord. He says Christians are to be taught to work, and they are to recognize that they maintain good works for necessary uses, that they might not be unfruitful, that the work of the Lord might be carried on. You see, when you and I give into the work of the Lord, it is fruit that abounds back to our account. Listen to Paul as he wrote to the Philippians. He said in the 4th chapter of the Philippian letter and in verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, how does fruit abound to our account? That we maintain jobs for necessary uses. Showing then all the way through, the Lord emphasizes that we are to accumulate. It's not wrong to accumulate, that the accumulation of wealth is not what is sinful. It is the misuse after we accumulate. If we do not understand and recognize, it is not to be hoarded and used upon ourselves solely. And when we deny his cause, then he, of course, is very much displeased. The Bible teaches that when we have worked and made increase, that this increase is to be properly used. The Bible teaches that when I increase and work, I have a responsibility to my own. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, the apostle says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Showing again the great responsibility for us to work that we might have money for necessary uses. And one of the responsibilities is to our family. We are to support government. We are to pay taxes. In the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, and verses 7 and 8, he says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Well, let me back up to verse 6. It was 6 and 7 I wanted. He says, For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing." Showing then that a proportionate part of what we make goes to government. And we, of course, benefit from our taxes. And the Lord understood this, and men have always lived under some form of government. And government is ordained of God, as you read here in Romans 13, and government is to be supported. But also he intended for part of what we make for necessary uses go to the support of his kingdom. The Apostle Paul said, as he wrote to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So you can see then that the Lord teaches that we are to work, that we are to accumulate, that we are to accumulate more than we just need ourselves. We are to accumulate to take care of our families. You could go back in 1 Timothy 5, would show that the extended family is even under consideration. When you look at aunts and uncles, but there he deals especially with aunts, with old widows, showing the responsibility even in the extended family. So you see, the God of heaven intended his people to work. He intended for them to accumulate, but also he laid grave responsibilities for the use of that which we accumulate. And he points out we're responsible for it. We're responsible to help others that are in need, that are not a part of our family. Paul deals with this and lays the principle in Ephesians 4 and in verse 28 when he says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that ye may have to give to him that needeth." There again, showing as we work and accumulate, that we accumulate more than that which we simply need for ourselves. Showing then that there is a responsibility that rests upon us. Now when Christians fail to use their money for the advancement of the cause of Christ, they are unfruitful branches. As I pointed out to you from Philippians 4 and verse 17, when we give into the common treasury of the church, when we as a congregation, when we come together on the Lord's Day and all of us give and share of our material goods into this common treasury, out of it we work, and out of it men are supported in the gospel. And the apostle, of course, tells us there in Philippians 4 and verse 17 that this fruit will abound to our account. Let me just go, will abound to our account. Let me go back and just read that again. when he says, and this is what he's talking about in the context, and you can go read the context, I'll not read it for time, but he says, and he's talking about them supporting him, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, as we support men in other places, as I pointed out, we have four men that we are helping support. They're in difficult places. And as we have fellowship with them in the gospel, and as we make sacrifice to help those men stay in the places where they are, God also gives us credit. And when we fail in our responsibility, then, of course, we become unfruitful branches. And Jesus deals with the unfruitful branch in the 15th chapter of the book of John. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, what does the Lord want us to do? Bring forth more fruit. And we need to recognize this is part of being a fruitful branch, using a proportionate part of what we have into the service of God. Now, the Christian's going to heaven is dependent upon his proper use of his money. And Paul sets forth this principle as he writes now to the young preacher Timothy. He tells him in 1 Timothy the 6th chapter, beginning with the 17th verse, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now notice verse 18. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute the use of their money, you see, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, in this text, you can see that he is emphasizing the proper use of material things and showing that laying hold on eternal life is contingent upon the fact that we properly use our money in the service of Almighty God. That I might do everything else right and fail to use my money and be lost. And that's what we need to recognize. I might come to all of the services. I might live a morally upright life. But I might fail in my responsibility to give the proportionate part. That is my responsibility into the common treasure of the church to defray the expenses of the kingdom and be lost. We're citizens of the kingdom, just like we are citizens of the United States. Now, we all recognize that Uncle Sam is going to have his proportionate part. He's going to get it if he has to send law enforcement officers to get it. If we don't pay, he will come and put a lien on our property and finally take our property. He will have his part. And we all know that. The state government is going to get its part. Now, we are members of two kingdoms. We are a member of a kingdom in this world. We are a member, we are citizens, of the United States. And we all know those responsibilities. There's responsibilities with citizenship. The same is true in the kingdom of heaven. It's a spiritual kingdom. But this kingdom has to be supported just like temporal kingdoms have to be supported. Jesus pointed out that as we live here in this temporal world, and as we carry on the work of preaching his spiritual gospel to others, we're in flesh and blood bodies, and it takes money to sustain and do that work. And so there is a responsibility to support his kingdom. And we need to have that emphasized. And where our responsibility is here at Hebron Lane. We who are members of this congregation, this is where we have coveted together that we're going to work together and support and carry on this work. Our responsibility is not somewhere else. I go off at times to hold meetings. Well, when I'm somewhere else in a meeting, that's not where they have planned for my money. My money belongs here. Whenever I'm gone, I see that my contribution gets back into this common treasury. That's where our responsibility is. And that's what all of us need to recognize. Whenever we're out, and all of us have to be out at times, but our responsibility is here because there is a set work, and it takes a set amount to do this work. This work has been planned. It hadn't been planned in a corner. It's been planned out openly. And so we need to recognize we're going to have to look at what we're giving. And if we're falling down, then we're going to have to do better. Because if we don't, we jeopardize our own souls. Not only that, but we jeopardize the work of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody here is important. It doesn't matter whether you are a widow with just a small amount or whether you are a businessman that makes a large amount. We all are to give as we have prospered, and we are to give from a willing mind, and the Lord accepts it according to what we have and not what we have not. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. And so we need to recognize then that everybody has a responsibility. And that's what we're talking about. Everybody don't have the same ability to give, but everybody gives as he has prospered in what his ability is. And when we combine our abilities, then of course we're able to do the work of the Lord. I hope you will think about these principles, because what I have set before you this morning is not some kind of fantasy land. It is the truth. We're either going to have to meet our responsibilities or cut some of them off. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, you need to be one. You need to become a Christian and go to work in the kingdom of God and begin to use your material resources to support his kingdom and help preach the gospel. And if you're here and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins, confess your Lord, we will be glad to bear you with him in baptism for the remission of sins. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?